Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. It's an opportunity for us to have a spiritual conversation, usually relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. And I typically have a special guest on the show so we can highlight a particular topic. And I am delighted to have on my show today Suzanne Giesman. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, Willa and everybody. What fun.
It is. It's so much fun to be together again and to have this opportunity to chat and to share with people really some of the exciting evidence from spirit. That's our topic for today. Those of you who are joining Wednesdays with Willa for the first time, you can find me on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium, and it airs live on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can also find this later when it's uploaded to my YouTube channel, as well as usually the Lilydale Assembly Facebook page and Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is a listen-only feature, but you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio, and there are other Lilydale Radio programs that you can tune into throughout the week, so I encourage you to check those out as well. So without further ado, I wanted to give Suzanne an official bio, and so people will have a sense of who you are if they don't know you already. Suzanne Giesman is a wonderful evidential medium. She is a former Navy commander and commanding officer who served as aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on September 11th. And in Suzanne's career, she's also flown on Air Force One with the president and visited with kings and queens. So I guess she knows all the greatest protocols and smoothing with all of the blue buds, as it were. And yet here she is, such a down-to-earth metaphysical teacher and author of 13 books, including one of my favorite mediumship books, which is The Priest and the Medium, which features the amazing medium Ann Gaiman, who is a retired Lilydale registered medium, and it's a story about her and her husband, right, Suzanne?
It is, and I wrote it before I knew I would be a medium, so people now look at my husband and say, you used to be a priest, because they've read The Priest and the Medium. You laugh hysterically at that thought.
Yeah, you're like, no, you're confused. That's about a different mediumship couple. Yes, that's so funny. And I'm sure he probably wants to give them a run for their money some days, just as a joke, right? Ty wants to do that.
Yeah, he's a retired Navy captain, and he can be pretty salty, so that's why that makes that even more funny.
Oh, how funny. I love it. So, yes, that's a wonderful book, and Suzanne's written others as well. She just has a fantastic grasp of the explanation and a compelling storytelling line. So I appreciate that about Suzanne. And today we're going to be talking about exciting evidence from spirit. Suzanne, you've been an evidential medium for a number of years now, and I know you've gone through various testing about those things. But let's talk to our viewers today about what is evidence.
Well, Willa, I love that you gave it the title of exciting evidence, because if we're not excited by the fact that we can discern information that we can't possibly know from connecting with beings who are no longer in a physical body, if that's not exciting to us anymore, we should hang it up, right?
That's right. That's right.
Because that's what evidence is. It's what convinces us that there's no death. It's what convinces us we are having a real-time conversation with real-life people from these wonderful golden nuggets, I call them, of evidence that absolutely validate this is them.
Mm-hmm. And it's proof of spirit communication, proof of the continuity of life, And evidence can come in a number of forms. Sometimes those identifiers have to do with the relationship to the client or the sitter. Sometimes it has to do with how they look, or a lot of times their personality or what they think about things. And a lot of times the visual, the symbols that they bring through. And I know that it's one of the things that you really enjoy, is bringing through those golden nuggets, as I do. It's like these things that are just like, yep, that's my person in spirit. You know when the sitter says, yes, that's them. And,
yeah, that's it. Yeah. But I really want to just, if I could,
yes,
jump on that word proof that you used several times. I'm really glad you used it, because I've heard some mediums say we should never use the word proof. Scientists will eat you alive. This is not a scientific proof. This is the evidential proof like we use in a court of law, and it's far more than the 51% needed to convict somebody in a court of law. The preponderance of the evidence in an excellent connection in a reading goes far beyond that to leaving the client saying, that's my loved one. And that's our goal, isn't it?
It is. It's the goal, but it's part of the conversation. The way I like to work as a medium is, this is a conversation between your loved ones and you, and I am that intermediary, the medium, between you. And so I'm like, okay, you're saying this, you're saying this. Sometimes they're talking over each other, you know, the living and the so-called dead. And it's really wonderful that when people get into that excited state of, yes, I am having a conversation with my loved one in spirit. I see that they're okay, that they're at peace, that they, if they needed it, they found peace more so than when they were here. And it's a wonderful reunion when people enjoy it to that level.
Yeah, you reminded me, though, that one time when you say talking over each other, there's that fine line between not allowing your client to get too much feedback because you want to get it straight from the source, their loved one in spirit, and then letting them express their joy or give you pieces that will add more depth to what you're already discerning. But, Willa, there was one reading where this young man in spirit is trying to get through messages along with the evidence, that's the best part, yeah, to his mom. And she was just talk, 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 talk. I couldn't get through. It went on and on like that. And, Willa, I finally had to gag her. I had to say, please, don't say another word. And she still went like this. I said, please, your son can't talk. Please don't say another word. And then it just flowed from him, and in the background on the phone, you could hear her going,
Well, it's rare that I've ever had to tell a client to you know, might want to just shush it a little bit. It's rare that I've had to do that. But there have been those instances where they're just so excited, and they're just, yeah, and you're right. But most of the time, people are really reasonable in their conversations with spirit. But it does, the energy of the client does matter.
It does, and to tell them, don't say anything but yes or no or I don't know, it puts up an energetic wall. Then the sitter sits here like this, and this is really a dance. So it is finding that fine line so that they know we're not feeding off what they give us. We want this evidence to be pure and,
yes,
received directly from their loved one.
Yes. And so that's why I encourage people to say yes, no, maybe, or that's my, you know, it's fine to confirm and verify the information that's coming through. You know, because we're having to get to know those people in spirit with just, you know, a couple of minutes, really. And they know their people. And
you know what's interesting, though, Willa, is we're having to get to know those in spirit, but I know they spend time before the reading getting to know us. Because I was sitting at breakfast this morning. I'm doing a reading about an hour after this chat we're having now. And all of a sudden, I went like this, and my husband said, what? And I said, this is this woman's husband who's coming here later today. I'm doing one in person. And I said, he's already here. And I said, just wait a while to him.
Yeah. Which brings up another important point for mediums, that they have to have healthy boundaries, and they have to say, you know, not right now. I'm spending time with my husband. I'm trying to do other things. Those things have to take priority as well. And that's why I encourage the people in spirit that can come through between the opening and closing prayer. And that's how, when they're allowed to do that. But sometimes they do try to get in a little early. And you can feel the energy. If you're sensitive, you can feel it coming in advance sometimes. especially if it's going to be a biggie in terms of a particular reading. So I hear what you're saying. So let's talk to them about the evidence and then how things have been validated by different clients that you've worked with.
Well, I feel that some of the very best evidence is when the client doesn't know what you're talking about, and then they come back a day later, sometimes an hour later, and validate it. That shows to those who really don't understand how this works or don't really know that it's real, that it is real. Like what just popped to mind, one of my favorites, was talking to a woman and her mother in spirit's talking to us. I said, your mom's showing me a plant. It's a potted plant. It has big green leaves like a lily. And this is significant to you right around now. Like you've been potting plants? She said, no. And we have to learn not to be upset when we get no's, right? So then I looked again and said, no, your mom, it's absolutely a lily, and your mom's going like this, like handing it to you. She said, Suzanne, I don't know what that is. So I always joke, you say, just remember it came up. But that's serious. I joke because we say it often, but with confidence. Well, Willa, 5 minutes after that reading ended, I get a phone call from the client because this was not in person. She said, Suzanne, in the middle of that reading, my doorbell rang, but I wasn't about to leave. My mother would go answer the door. So when the reading ended, I went to the door, and there's a lily on the porch. A florist had delivered a gift, and my mom knew all about it.
I love it. It can happen that way. It absolutely can happen that way, where there are things that are happening in real time that come through in the reading and then are verified later on. That's happened time and again for me, too. I love your story about the lily. It just emphasizes how much the client needs to be open and the medium needs to be open to that experience.
Oh, yeah. Don't shut down when somebody says no. But it's also a very telling thing that the evidence doesn't have to be this laundry list of tell me how you died, tell me what work you do, which I love and I teach the list, but if we just flow with whatever presents itself, they'll take us outside our own boxes.
Absolutely. And I think the other part of that is it's nice if the client doesn't say, well, what's their nickname for me or those kind of things because
what's our password, what's our code word? That just takes all the flow out of it as we go into trying mode, right?
Yeah, we go into trying thinking mode rather than just allowing things to flow. And as you said, the dance, the joyful, sacred joy, I call it the sacred joy when I'm in the moment of spirit with them, that we're in that dance of the sacred joy. And so that's how it comes to me. And I notice that if we engage the thinking mind, or there's a lot of challenge. So let's talk about that, a bit of the tension that happens between wanting a certain kind of evidence to come through versus the really powerful evidence that can come through if a person is truly relaxed and open.
Oh, gosh. Well, I face that quite often because I find it very validating for me when those in spirit show how they pass. That's like a number one for me.
Yeah.
And so if I don't discern that correctly, I can feel myself obsessing about it. And I recently did a reading, and the woman's daughter came through, and she showed me that she passed suddenly. She showed me it was tragic. She took responsibility for it, but I wasn't getting the big picture. Mm-hmm. So I mistakenly, did I assume it? No, I just said this feels like a suicide, when in fact it wasn't. So we had to put it aside. We got little pieces of the puzzle. Then all of a sudden, the daughter in spirit showed me a gun, but I knew she hadn't taken her own life. And then claircognizantly, the whole thing unfolded. I said, she was in a relationship. She's showing me this with a young man who you didn't approve of. She said he was dangerous. Mom's just nodding her head. And she's showing me he had a police record, and he shot and killed her. And the mother says, yes. And it was just all right there. And then I asked silently to the daughter, and then what happened? And she showed me that then he immediately killed himself. I mean, this is the kind of evidence that is off the charts.
And that's why sometimes you'll receive the suicide energy, because it's related with someone else having done the suicide. That's associated.
I never put that piece together.
Yeah, so that's why you would do, when you get, why we get that, because there's a layering of information that comes through from spirit sometimes. So let's say you know that someone passed and, you know that something happened into their head and you get cancer and you get blood clot, but what it was is they had cancer, they passed in a different part of their body, not in their head, but they passed from the blood clot. So, but a sitter could say, well, it wasn't cancer in their head, but it's because you're getting the layers
right.
of information that come through.
And I love that you do a program like this where you educate people, because it's not as clear as day as it is for us in this mode of perceiving things.
Mm-hmm.
And so to piece it together, as long as the client understands, that's the important part.
Yes.
I just got a nice note card from somebody I did a reading for over a year ago, and she said that that reading's the gift that keeps giving, because I wasn't in a state to be able to understand at that time. And all of these things are making sense to me now.
Mm-hmm.
Would we love for them to make sense immediately like they do when we have a conversation like this?
Yeah.
Sure, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, sometimes a reading needs to unfold. There's an unfurling. As it opens up, some things have more time that they need with all of that. And other things are instantaneous understanding. It just depends on so many factors, right? Bringing through evidence has you have this reliance on the client's energy, spirit's energy, your energy, the merging of that, and then all of the communication things that are involved with it. And so we do our best as mediums to communicate those pieces of information. Every little facet that I receive, I try to, say, okay, yep, I'm paying attention to that. Okay, yes, I need to bring through that next piece of information, next piece of information. And that's how the message, that's how the reading builds.
Yeah, and it's so important to us to get it right. I'll never forget my original mentor. Well, Janet Havoc was the original then. She sent me to Mavis Patilla. I think the book on top there, my latest, Droplets of God, that's the biography of Mavis.
Yes.
And she said one time, you don't want the spirits to meet you when you cross the veil and say, I never said that.
That's right. Yes, Mavis and Janet have both been on the show, so I encourage people to look back at the archive videos. They're both wonderful mediums and women, and I appreciate them. And you should look back at the archive video of when Suzanne was on the show last time, because we did talk about integrity, ethics, and evidence last time you were on the show. So I forgot to mention that earlier, so I thought it better. If anybody wants to look back on the archive videos of the show, you're welcome to.
Well, that's why I loved that time with you, and was so eager to talk with you again, because we really are of like mind and heart.
Yes, absolutely. It's fun how things are like that with spirit. Going back to what Mavis said, we do our best to honor what spirit is trying to convey. Yes, the client has essentially requested the reading, but then many times they'll say, I know my loved one in spirit wanted me to have a reading with you in particular because of this. And it's fascinating how spirit will unite clients with us as mediums.
Oh, yeah. And I get an awful lot of the men who salute me in spirit right away, because they recognize that military connection.
They're like, hey, go to that military Suzanne girl. Because she'll get this right away. We can speak the same lingo. And I think that's what happens. People develop, as mediums, a reputation with those in spirit. And then we're recommended on that basis, not just with the living.
So for those who aren't familiar with how the spirit world works, what you just said, well, it may really make people say, what? Because those in spirit are interacting with each other just like we do here. Word gets around about certain things. I know that I support and I'm a member of the group Helping Parents Heal, because my stepdaughter Susan passed. That's how I got on this path. And I know that when there are Helping Parents Heal meetings and the parents attend, their kids are also meeting and aware of each other across the veil. It's all this beautiful web that connects us all.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing their best from spirit to provide pieces of information, too. Some mediums in spirit are really great communicators when they connect with us. I've noticed that some of them are superior at giving information rapidly because they've done all this practice here on the earth plane before they passed. But there are spirit, people in spirit that really need the help of their other loved ones in spirit to talk with us.
Yes, but don't you feel it also is indicative of their personality and how they were here?
Oh, yes.
I had a man in spirit, my client's husband, come through. I was just doing my little opening invocation, and boom, he's like, let's get on with this. And
mm-hmm.
It's very, very funny and powerful, and it was exactly how he was and how she knows him.
Yeah, you're right. Some because of their personality, they will practically break down the gate like it's Black Friday. I'm first. Don't you dare try to come in first. Some people are like that in their personality and spirit, and so they.
I wonder if your international viewers know that that's the day after Thanksgiving when we have all kinds of sales. Break down the doors of the stores to get the sales.
They do. Although I'm hoping it's better this year. Who knows? we're praying for all of those involved. but it's also the quiet ones in spirit. Sometimes they are just there and they don't have a lot to say. And we have to keep in mind who we're talking to, right?
That's right. And those who weren't so talkative, I find, often give us visuals. I had a grandmother come in, and I just knew she was the mother of five children. I could feel that she felt harried when she was here with all of that pressure. And she did next to no talking, yet she showed me her daughter handing her to my client, the granddaughter, and I knew that she was symbolically showing me her daughter, my client's mother, is still here in human form. And then she had a message about her daughter. It was so interesting. It's always interesting, the
mm-hmm.
different dynamics, because we're all unique.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't change when we cross the veil.
That's true. People keep a lot of their personality after passing. And I do find that whatever state of consciousness they have when they're here, when they pass, they take that with them and they learn and grow from that place, some more rapidly than others. But you see the varying spiritual understanding of people here on the earth plane. And so it is in the next. You know, they have to learn and grow.
And I'll see this symbol. So if you all are thinking, oh, my God, don't tell me that so-and-so is going to be the same when I meet up with them again. I'll see this, and that means I've seen the light.
Yeah.
I'm growing. And then it comes with this awareness that they're going to find a completely different person once they now realize it's all about love. I got it wrong while I was there, but I can't wait to show you. I am changing.
There are accompanying sensations that I feel when someone has transcended things that happened here, the choices they made or circumstances around them. When they've transcended that on the other side, it's just this, it's like a fountain of energy that goes right through me, up through the top of my head. And it's just like this bubbling up of joy and a true connection of understanding with the divine. And it's such a beautiful thing. And it's reassuring to the folks here on the earth plane to know that their loved ones are working through whatever needs to be worked through. And that it's part of sometimes the message or the reading. Hey, that's evidence of, I was like this when I was here on the earth plane,
right.
And now
that's
this is how I am.
That's the point you'd make.
Yes, yes.
That is evidential in itself. You don't come in and immediately say, oh, here's your mother, your father, they're so loving, they love you so much. I've come to learn, as you have, over how long has it been now, 13 years of doing readings, that not everybody is loving. They weren't able to when they were here, but there's definitely growth across the veil. Thank goodness.
Yes. I tell my folks in spirit, I say, okay, you guys, you have to come through the way you were when you were here. If you just come through with beams of light, no one's going to recognize you.
That's right.
And so, you know, you can show us your light self after that if you really want to say, look what I've done. But it's about showing up all the quirks, the foibles that people have, and the tendencies that they needed to address in terms of the relationship with the client or other people. And so sometimes the greatest evidence is not necessarily what they look like, but how they interacted with people here on the earth plane and what they want to say about it now.
Yeah.
Because that's the human connection. And I think that is what keeps it so interesting for me as a medium, that human connection focal point, that be a big part of the evidence and of the conversation rather than just, as you said, the laundry list of items that you could say about someone. It's hard to put their life into a nutshell, but we do our best, and then the conversation evolves from there.
Speaking of conversation, I'm remembering now why I loved the first time we got together, that this is not so much an interview where people might be saying, why is the interviewer talking so much? I want to hear from the guest. But I'm so enjoying hearing your side of this because it's so much fun when I get together with another medium and they validate our world and our work as mediums. And you and I are just 100% in sync. And it's so nice to hear this from somebody else and let everybody else hear, this is the way it is.
It's not just a unique experience for me as a medium. It's something that many mediums, this is how we feel and believe and know and understand spirit. And that's where I think the education for folks is so important, so that they see the sincerity and the integrity we try to bring to these occasions. So thank you for honoring our conversation in that way. What other exciting pieces of information and evidence should we share with people?
Well, I love when those in spirit answer the questions that the client brings to the session without the client having to ask it. I was at a conference in Salt Lake City this past weekend and shared this one about a father in spirit who passed with COVID. He took my breath away with lung issues. He showed me a lichen infection throughout his body, and this was my first COVID patient that I brought through. But he answered so many questions. His daughter was the client and his wife. They were together on the screen in Zoom. And he said, I hear you. You don't have to beg. Now, what's evidential about that? The daughter went like this, put her hands to her mouth, and she said, just before the reading, I said, Father, please come through clearly. Please come through. I beg you. Wow.
Yes.
And then I put my cell phone report, as we used to say in the Navy, for making assumptions, which are just so silly when I think back on it. But in the reading, he showed that his daughter was feeling guilty about his death. And I thought, why would his daughter feel guilty about him passing from COVID? Turns out she is a physician, and he passed in her hospital.
Mm.
So she felt she could have done more. And then to assuage her guilt and to tell her you need to soften that energy that the guilt and the blame you're throwing on yourself, I said, your dad is handing you a teddy bear, but this is significant. I didn't want to say that because I, silly me, made the assumption, well, these folks are in India, and they don't do teddy bears like we do here. How silly. Because she said, wait, and she ran off screen and comes back holding the teddy bear that Dad had just given her last Christmas. And that read, let me see, was there anything else? Oh, another assumption. He shouts at me, curry, and he shows me how much he loved his wife's food. She's sitting there on the screen, and right away I'm thinking, oh, my God, I eat Indian curry, but there must be more than that. Am I making a cultural assumption again? But I said, he's shouting at me, curry. He wants me to talk about the curry that his wife made. And mother goes, it's her time to gasp, because she had been making his favorite meals once a month and taking them to her priest. And that month of the reading, she had made curry and wondered if her husband knew about it.
Aww. So, see, it's a mental game sometimes we have to deal with as mediums when we're bringing through evidence. And, we might hear a name in our head and we're like, well, no, or a piece of information, oh, no, and we want to discount it. And that's why I've learned, don't discount it, say it.
Because
otherwise you've missed an opportunity to further bring through the evidence. It just cements it further.
But can I share something funny that happened, and it is a challenge? all right? When we open ourselves up, we are really connected to all that is. So we set the intention, I'm sure you do, that we only tune into information that pertains to our client.
Yes.
But recently I did a reading and I said, I'm being shown a little Papillon dog, little furry thing with the big ear, the Papillon dog. And the client says, no, I don't recognize that. I said, okay, just remember it came up. And then a minute later I hear the name Paul. No, I don't know any Pauls. And I said, I know this is significant because I don't either, but oh well, you can't take it. Other things came through. The connection was excellent with everything else in this reading. Well, Willa, 5 minutes after the reading, I get a text from my friend and my assistant, Lynette. She says, we arrived at the Airbnb where we're staying. Wait till you see the dog this woman has. It's this beautiful little Papillon named Paul.
And so
she's a Papillon Paul, but clearly Lynette and I are very much in sync. I talked to her before every reading, so we were still connected, and her thoughts just drifted right through on that reading.
I love it. I think sometimes it's how that works.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do our best to be tuned in exclusively to that, but it can happen. And also, don't you find sometimes people in spirit will talk about things that are going around, not the client, but people who are close to them,
the spouse,
or their children, and that might be something they don't know about that they find out later.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, that's evidence as well. And so sometimes the evidence is for later. They're tidbits for later.
And the most beautiful part is that we can educate our clients to say, do you see what that means? Your loved one in spirit is still part of your life. And this is ongoing. It's not just during the reading. They are always with you. They know what's going on in your life. They give you your privacy, but they're part of the family.
But then there are those people, the butt people, I call them. But I really wanted them to tell me this. Like all this evidence has come through. But I really want them to tell me this.
Oh, and that's when we just have to let it go.
Let it go.
We can educate them that it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And I've learned over the years to let it go. Although I'm embroiled in the middle of that right now. I have a dear friend who passed, and her son knows how this works. And what did I write to him? I texted him, then called him, and I said, your mom came to me in the middle of the night. It took her 3 weeks, but it was her voice, her accent, and she gave me a few pieces of evidence. He validated one. He said, yeah, but none of those are the... And I said, don't tell me you did the code word thing. He said, yeah, I have three, and I'm not going to do hot and cold if you text me. I'm not going to say, well, you're a little warm, you're a little cold. I said, I can't believe you're doing this to me. So I just said to his mom, look, if you can get it through, that's fine. Because I know that's how it works. If they could, they would.
That's right.
But I sense that everything that comes through from a spirit is energetic. It's a frequency. Mm-hmm. And it has to be a match with what's in our energy field that we pick up on that frequency, that our filters won't just bypass it.
That's right. That's right. So part of the evidence is when the client is truly ready. Mm. You know, part of it is when it's the right time for that, not the time they declare. And that's something that is, you know, we cannot control those things. I do try to tell my students that, remember, that readings with mediums, messages with mediums, they're experimental. Readings are experimental sessions. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's what's actually quite fun. If you
yes.
can go into it with a sense of wonder and excitement instead of, oh, my God, what's going to happen? It's a totally different energy. It's just, let's see what unfolds today. That really helps the energy, and spirit never lets us down in that regard.
And do you find also that some of the evidence that comes through is there's stuff that we have experienced in our lives or places that we have gone in our own travels or events that we've been attached to, and then that becomes evidence in a reading because spirit will use that information that we have experienced or been part of or known of, and it comes through, and we feel a connection with them. It's just like when you have a good conversation with someone, and you're like, oh, I totally get them. I totally get that information. When we have those shared experiences, those shared understandings, and that's a unification between spirit and us as well. I think that's why they choose us.
I also know that it makes it much easier for those in spirit to use things that we recognize, that we relate to and resonate with. If we have the time, I would love to share my absolute funniest and one of my favorite stories regarding that.
Go for it.
Is that okay?
Go
all
for
right.
it.
This young man in spirit showed me an image of a conversation we had had at our dinner table the night before with dinner guests. So this also shows that they are here before the reading starts, you know, checking out the medium. What can I use that's in their conscious mind now? Why go deep into the subconscious? What can I use to show my loved one during our session that I'm really here?
Yeah.
So he flashes on this conversation we had where we were talking about this man at the dinner table. We were talking about the movie A Fish Called Wanda, where one of the stars eats a goldfish. And this retired Navy admiral at the dinner table with us says, oh, I've eaten live goldfish, and he makes this motion like the fish's tail flapping out of his mouth. And we're all saying, oh, my God, why would you do that? So here I am doing a reading. We have a really good connection with this woman's son across the veil, and he shows me a goldfish tail flapping out of his mouth. I couldn't believe it. I said to his mother, your son is showing me that he used to eat goldfish. And Willa, his mother, replies, oh, yes, I used to keep him supplied. I said, are you kidding me? I said, now that is evidence. That is
That's
awesome.
Evidence.
Nobody would ever imagine that. So I said to her, look, I educate people by showing them that this is real. May I put this on Facebook? May I share this with people? She said, well, sure. So right after the reading, I type it up. You wouldn't believe it. My spirit says that he ate goldfish, and his mother said she kept them supplied. Willa, I got all these posts right away. Ooh, oh, my God. Oh, that's amazing. All this stuff. And down around comment number 23, somebody wrote, could he have meant the crackers? And all of a sudden, I went, oh, my God, goldfish crackers. Now, spirit is really clever. They'll take something that's in our conscious mind if it gets to what they're trying to say. So I quickly emailed his mom. Did you mean your son ate goldfish crackers and you kept supplies of that? And she wrote back and she said, well, of course.
Because the whole time you're telling the story, I'm going, this is gross. Swallowing the goldfish.
But to me, it shows absolutely, the cleverness, the creativity,
yes, yes.
The awareness of those in spirit, how they sit in our conversations, use what's in our conscious mind if it gets to the main point, which he did. And can't you just feel them laughing in spirit?
The humor of this is immense.
Yeah.
But and they do like to do that to us. And it is a bit like playing charades, like sounds like, feels like, is like this. And sometimes they'll give us representations that are close to it, but not the crackers. I mean.
Yeah, and me, with my Navy background, I want to get it right. I don't want the sounds like. I want it exact.
Yeah,
and
right.
So we have to learn to live with, sometimes we do get it exactly, not always, but if, again, as long as the client knows what their loved one's trying to say.
Yes, yes. And some clients are more aware of that kind of evidence coming through than others. There is that understanding that sometimes they're just not there to accept the information, and we come to peace about that. But we become open channels for whatever's in the highest and best good of that particular conversation. And sometimes there's a lot of healing things that happen once you have established the evidence, the exciting evidence. Then they're able to believe other things that are part of it as well. And I just love that story about the goldfish or goldfish crackers, thankfully, in this case. I'm glad it was crackers.
Yeah. I think it was, it might have been the same reading, I'm not sure, because I couldn't see the client, but I said, your son is saying, you've just lifted your energy. There's this lift about your face. And she said, well, yeah, I got a facelift this last year.
There you go. There's some more validation about things. It's their way of getting that through. What other pieces of information, exciting information, evidence from spirit would you like to share with us?
Well, I just love that Spirit will work with us. And we do have guides. Mine is my dear friend Brenda, who's now my mediumship guide. And I know that she gets together before reading and says, this is how my medium works. And so she has symbols. Mm-hmm. I can see you have this that you want to share. So this is the best and most effective and efficient way to get this through to Suzanne. So that's when symbols make this almost like shorthand doing a reading. And it's really fun to use symbols because once something new comes through in a reading and I see that it might come up in future readings, just silently and quickly on the fly, I say, Brenda, let's use that again. So for example, I did a reading and I saw a caduceus. That's the symbol of a doctor. And it was the first time I'd ever seen it. And I always report objectively exactly how things come through. Then I interpret it. In case my interpretation's wrong, we can go back to what we saw. So I said to my client, I'm seeing a caduceus, and it feels as if your loved one is trying to show me they were a doctor. And they were. So this is one of those cases where I silently said, Brenda, next time we have a doctor, let them use the caduceus.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know that the very next day, boom, there's a caduceus in my mind as I'm connecting with the woman's husband. And I thought, it can't be. And that's the problem. I thought, but I said it. And I said, and your husband is showing me a caduceus? He was a doctor. Yes, he was. And they've used it again since.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yeah, well, it's just showing again. Creativity, cooperation of sentient beings just like us, of course, just like us, sentient, creative, and they want to let us know, here we are.
Here
this
we are.
Real.
Here we are. And some of the wonderful evidence that's come through is when they take me to their house or to the client's house and they say, I know that you have put this particular memorial in your backyard and this is what it looks like. Or sometimes they'll say, I love that you have been talking to me in the kitchen lately. And you know, like they'll talk about those kinds of sometimes the evidence is not always a symbol. Sometimes it comes almost like a memory. Like I'm in the spirit's mind of memory. And they're saying...
And to get into that mode that happened last week with that husband that came in so forcefully.
Yeah.
He was such a good communicator that suddenly he took me on a memory and I was him and I was with her in that memory. And I just closed my eyes and began talking in first person as him because I allowed that channeling. Mm-hmm. And when I opened my eyes, she had tears streaming down her face and her jaw just open. And she said, it is impossible that you didn't know him before because that was him. And I said, well, I know him now.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And I know what you mean. Sometimes there are times that I flip into the first person because I can feel it as if it was my own.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's the goal.
Yeah. I don't always want that to happen with certain people in spirit.
So it
has to be a special occasion on that, whether I feel comfortable with them, but and whether they feel comfortable with us in the situation too. But I've noticed that when I do slip into the eye, it's just amazing how the next piece of information comes through. We're so in sync. It's like a duet, a spirit duet that's going on. In those instances that there's what he or she is giving me from spirit and a responsive echo within myself. So that's how I would describe it.
You couldn't do it better. I have a beautiful example for you of how interconnected all of us are and reading to reading and with our guides.
Mm-hmm.
I shared this at the conference in Salt Lake City that I did a reading for a woman in France and her sister came through so beautifully, another case of answering her questions before they were asked. She showed me that she passed up cancer and I felt the pain right in my ovary. I said, this was ovarian cancer. Yes, it was. She showed me a bell that she used to use to call her sister who's the one who cared for her during her illness. On and on with the evidence. And then she put in my hand a pomegranate. I've never seen a pomegranate in a reading. And her sister said, oh, I used to go to the market here in France and give her pomegranates. She loved them.
Aww.
So the next reading, 10 minutes later, I rarely do back-to-back readings, but I should do them more seeing how they use this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to know too much about my clients,
no.
But in this case, the calendar entry said she was in time zone GMT plus 4. So I said to her before we even started, where are you? And she said, I'm in Azerbaijan. And I thought, my gosh, the value of the internet to be doing sessions for people in Azerbaijan is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, right away, this young man comes in. I could tell he was a friend, not a blood relative. He showed me how he passed in an accident, a car accident. He showed me definitely a friend of hers and that she had a special necklace that was his. She validated, she knew who he was, didn't expect to hear from him, and had only that morning, for some reason, put that necklace on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, he put that in her mind. But then the most fascinating thing was, I said, he's showing me a pomegranate. Now, we're talking about 13 years of readings, never seen a pomegranate, and it's two readings in a row?
Yeah.
And she said, okay. And I said, do you have any idea why he's showing me a pomegranate? And she said, well, it's the national fruit of Azerbaijan.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. I mean,
you can't make this stuff
no,
up.
No, there's no way you would know the national fruit.
No.
Like, there's
no,
no way. I mean, you don't have a photographic memory, and you haven't been studying all of those things.
No, and I never knew that. And
yeah,
here it is, two readings in a row. So was that guy waiting in the wings listening in? In a way, yes. But it's
maybe
really just because we're all connected. And those connections were just lighted up as he's getting ready. And most likely, Brenda's taking credit for that right now. She's like, here's the pomegranate thing.
Well, you know, I've had the situation where that's happened before as well. And I've even had clients, they're scheduled on the same day, two have the same name, and the third one, that the person in spirit that's coming through had the name.
Oh,
I'm just like, this was that particular name's theme day. Like, it's
yeah,
just, they will set it up so beautifully. You know, it's not like we are trying to make that happen ourselves. There is this divine alignment that is occurring in those moments.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not surprised with your pomegranate story. I love it, but I'm not surprised.
And Lynette goes to schedule readings from my waiting list, and sometimes she'll just scan those that are right up near the top, and she's drawn to a certain one because she knows how this works. She claims she's not a medium, but we all have the ability to tune in. So she uses that ability, and it'll turn out, without us knowing, it comes out in the reading when the loved one in spirit shows me a birthday cake, now symbol, and points right at the client. That's, I said,
yeah,
this is your birthday.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. What a gift this reading is. Well, their loved one set that up by drawing Lynette's eye right to that name.
Yes, and there is that, when there are those kinds of synchronicities, it just shows that we're not just an accumulation of cells having an experience. We're having a sacred, joyful experience, and there's so much more. And I think that's part of the comfort of mediumship, that we recognize that not just through the evidence but through the spirit conversations that we have with people, that they recognize there's something bigger than themselves, and they start acting in that alignment way themselves, and they witness the synchronicities even more in their own life, and then it just sort of builds. And then they're able to receive more validation of spirit contact in their own life. I think that's so beautiful when they start to feel the evidence, the exciting evidence from spirit that the client receives that has nothing to do with another intermediary, that they become their own best medium.
Oh, that's the goal.
Yeah.
That's a gift. The mediumship session is a gift that opens you to the awareness of how interconnected we all are, that we can't be separate. And then we go down that path through education, like you're saying here, through the experience that we can have ourselves and engaging our loved ones ourselves, and it just ripples
mm-hmm.
out.
Yeah, and it ignites the soul to take them out of grief in those moments that they have of grief, it takes them into another level of understanding and some measure of acceptance and peace. And then they start to connect with other people here in the living space more fully with love. So the reason Suzanne and I are so excited about evidence from spirit is the extrapolation that it extends into all of these aspects of life and how we can live more gratefully and more fully. So that's why I'm so excited that Suzanne's been on the show today. It's been great. I know time's been cooking right along. We should tell people, I know you have an event coming up. We should let them know about that.
I do. It's actually, if you go to the top of my website, SuzanneGeisman.com, and there's a banner of several upcoming events, but one of them is an event that we use to announce a course I have coming up with the Shift Network. It's a repeat, but live and redone, of my basic sacred mediumship class, how to do this for yourself. We don't all know if we're going to be mediums, but we also don't know what we're capable of. I sure had no idea I would be doing this work. So at the top of my website is a little link to the event that announced that, but it's much more than just an announcement. I lead people through a guided practice to connect with a guide and get evidence. I talk about the three keys of mediumship. So lots of good stuff right there at the top of the website.
And that's coming up. When does that course start for them?
The course actually starts December 1st and runs for 7 weeks in a row. It's very detailed, and it was so well received in the past, but a lot has changed with COVID, more people understanding there's so much more, so we're giving that one again.
Beautiful. And I think it's wonderful that there's so much teaching going on with mediumship that people can start to activate that themselves no matter where they are in the world. I've noticed that within my students, you know, that it just keeps broadening, and with the clients all internationally, because we're able to do things on Zoom more and more. And that's another point I thought would be nice to make with people, is that it's not necessary for you to be in the physical presence of the medium in order to have an amazing, fantastic, validating, full of evidence reading, because spirit doesn't have the same kind of time and space restrictions that we seem to, and so that comes through regardless. And even before the days of Zoom, I had been doing phone readings for years and years before all of that, and never had the issue of connecting. Spirit knows what to do.
You know, it'd be interesting to see hear your opinion on this, Willa, but phone readings are great for skeptics who say, well, maybe you're reading my body language, but there's nothing for me like the moment my client comes on the screen, and all of a sudden, just seeing them, I get this heart surge. Even if they're in deep grief, I just connect at the heart. That visual of this is the soul that we're here to help is just so important to me. I don't then look at them during my reading. I don't want to be distracted by them. So it's not a matter of feeding information.
So you say, I'm not going to look at you very much. So
yeah,
you basically say.
But so phone readings just lack that beautiful.
They do.
I see you energy.
Mm-hmm. And there, I think that I love the fact that we can do the Zoom now, because it really does add another level of human connection to the moment. And they also, because things happen sometimes very physically for me, I'm very strongly clairsentient as well. Sometimes what's happening on my body or where I'm pointing to is important, and they're able to see that more readily. So, you know, I have a mannerism, and they can actually see it visually happening on my face or with my body. So that's part of the excitement of being able to do that. And even with the mediumship circles that I run on Zoom, students they love that they can have that interplay and notice that within themselves and have their partners that they're practicing with recognize it. So it's wonderful.
Yeah. One of my favorite clips, I saved it from a reading with the parents' permission, was the two parents on the Zoom screen and their son. It was one of those cases of that perfect blending. And I just let him take over for a minute. And he's going like this, and I said, he's talking about, well, she's this Navy officer, but I could never get into that. And you know, I just was really happy with myself. And the, I opened my eyes, and the parents are looking at me, and the dad goes like this, and they said, that's him. And you go, yes, that's the point. This is them. They are still here. And so, yeah, you don't get that on the phone.
You don't get that on the phone. You don't. I mean, you can say, this is what I'm experiencing, but sometimes there's this beautiful spiritual mastery that comes in those moments where we can feel their personality and their character to such a degree that it's overlapping. And that, I love that that kind of evidence is what can drive the spiritual conversation further and help people to comfort them and ease their grief and help them have a greater understanding of this entire experience. So, oh, I'm glad that you shared. That was cute. Oh. I love it.
He was jiving for sure.
Getting his groove on, just what in his everyday conversation, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
and that's the point, isn't it? The exciting evidence shows us this is an everyday thing. Yes, a reading will change your world, rock your world, but they're showing us we are with you every day. We may not be able to get our signs through. We don't want to take over your life, but we are still here.
They do like to visit.
Yeah.
You know, some more than others, but it depends on the relationship that people have. And I think it's beautiful that it is maintained, that love never dies, and that's such a valuable thing that we as mediums do a service to others. To show them that they continue to have interest in us. I mean, think about it. When it's your turn to pass Suzanne, you're going to go check in on your people.
Are you kidding? You're trying to keep me away.
Oh, well, this has been so wonderful. I think it's really helped people to have you share about exciting evidence from Spirit. You're just such a wonderful lady and medium. I'm grateful for you being on the show today, and we'll have you back some more. So you can,
thanks for the platform to share your gift to everyone as well, Will. So thank you all.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. Tune in next week to Wednesdays with Willa. We'll have another great show for you guys. And I encourage you to like and share and follow things on the page so you can know who's coming next onto the show. All right, everyone. Have a beautiful week. Bye-bye.
Bye.